Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to Project Zion podcast. This is your host, Robin Linkhart, with another Open Topics episode focused on something of keen interest to many of us as we journey in faith seeking understanding. Women finding their place in the church and what it looks like to live into the all of who God created us to be. Today, our guest is Lucia Piehi. Lucia is a graduate of Graceland University and has completed 4 years of graduate studies in the Community of Christ Seminary. She has been a key leader in French Polynesia for many years. She currently serves as Mission Center Financial Officer for the French Polynesia Mission Center. She was born and raised in Tahiti and has seen a lot of change in the life of the church. Hello, Lucia, and welcome to Project Zion podcast.
Bonjour, Yorana.
Very good to see you today. Lucia, let's give our listeners a chance to get to know you better. So please tell us just a little bit about where you grew up, your background in the church, your family, and how you came to be a full-time minister with Community of Christ.
Mm-hmm. I grew up here on the main island of French Polynesia, in Tahiti. I have 2 sisters and 1 brother. My father was converted to our church after an experience in his life when my mom gave birth of me. I was a child who was diagnosed of a tuberculosis to the bones, especially to my hip, my right hip. And so the doctors at the time had no treatment to, let's say, to save me. And so when I was the age of 6, emergency, and I needed to get a surgery. And it was a tough time. And my grandfather, who was the pastor of our congregation, and my mom's father had prayed for us, but had especially encouraged my parents to turn to God. And they did so, and through the sacrament of the laying of the hands, and miraculously I was saved, and it affected my father. That's how he became a church member. So they both were very active in the church. I grew up seeing both of them working hard for anything about the congregation, and without me knowing why they were so courageous like that. But as I grew up, I heard their testimonies, and they were doing that as a return to God for the blessings that they have received in their life. So, yeah, my mom put me to piano lessons, and she forced me to play every Sunday at church.
Good for her.
We had to go to church. It was a time when children had to go to church compared to today. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I was, one of their children who every Sunday, I mean, we never missed church. And it shaped my faith, and looking at my parents, the hard work they were doing, and I felt like I had to be like them. For me, it was a normal action to do when I will grow up. And so when they sent me to Graceland, because during my childhood, I would be by myself because of the disease that I had. Mm. I wasn't able to play with the kids, so I was always by myself. And I felt like being left alone mm-hmm. and not loved by people except my parents, my family. And I heard later on that my mom sent me to Graceland because she wanted me to see a new world. Mm-hmm. She was telling me later on that she was suffering. They both were suffering seeing me being away, and they didn't know what would happen after they would send me. And at the time, I didn't want to go, but I just trusted them, and it was a great beginning for me. It was my experience at Graceland has opened many doors and windows for me to see the world mm-hmm. in new ways. And so after I graduated from Graceland, came back to Tahiti, and first thing in mind is returning it to God, mm-hmm. like my parents did. And then I thought about working for the church at the first place. Mm-hmm. But at the time, there were no openings. Mm-hmm. And Riri Fatu Maritirani was the church president here. And but I helped them with translations. And then I found a job. And as I was growing, because my last year at Graceland, I had a hip replacement surgery because I was really suffering during my junior year. And after that surgery, it was another huge door that opened.
Yeah.
It was a new life for me. New opportunities and possibilities, and it completely changed my way of looking at life. Mm-hmm. So coming back to Tahiti, and with the boyfriend of the time, we were both, we invested our time for the church. Mm-hmm. With the children, I was the children minister. Mm-hmm. That was my first ministry in my congregation. Then with the youth, after I was called as a priest, then the pastor gave me responsibilities. And so it was time, for me it was, okay, there we go. This is how I will thank God mm-hmm. for the blessings that I have received. So I accepted the call and was called after that as an elder and then financial officer for my congregation. So I served as a financial officer for 9 years.
In your congregation?
Yeah.
Wow.
And during the sixth or seventh year, then the mission center started to ask me to help in the bishopric here. And so I stepped into it. And for me, it's, okay, here's another opportunity to thank God and help the church. And then they started to call me and offered a position at the mission center, and I was expecting my third baby at the time.
Oh my goodness.
Third baby that became third babies mm-hmm. because I was expecting a twin boys. Mm-hmm. And the day I delivered them, I had phone calls from the United States, from Apostle Dave Brock at the time, uh-huh. like encouraging me. Because they started the discussion earlier, but I resigned at the time. And uh-huh. Uh-huh. I said, no, I don't think I'm ready for that. But so church leaders came and visited me in the clinic. And for me, it's like, what is it, God? Now you're... What is this? Is this a mission? Is this a call? Is this an obligation? Am I not done yet with returning what I owe you? Mm-hmm. And all those questions in my mind. And because they were twin babies, much work at home.
Yes.
And I said, after talking to my husband, we both decided, okay, maybe this is the right time then to to change job, because my previous job was kind of time dependent, mm-hmm. consuming, and so we made a shift. It was a great shift in our lives because mm-hmm. it meant lower finances. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It meant a lot. So it required to both of us to reorient our projects mm-hmm. and our needs and family and church. And at one point, we said to ourselves, but church is family, so we can do both. Mm-hmm. And so we made a change. And for me personally, it was still my way of saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And so I took that call as just a follow-up, like mm-hmm. a new journey, a new opportunity. So, and that's how I stepped in here mm-hmm. at the Mission Center. I started as a financial director, mm-hmm. 2 years. Mm-hmm. Tough years.
Yeah.
Because there was much work to do, and I think if I knew what the Mission Center needed at that time, I wouldn't have accepted, frankly. But at the same time, it gave me, I still had that in my mind, God was still there. I needed to do something to please God, mm-hmm. and there was work here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So it was my motivation. Okay, I'll do it. And after it's done, then I can think again. Mm-hmm. 2 years after it was done, and then here's another call to be the Mission Center president. And for me, God is never done with us. Mm-hmm. So another big challenge. So I did our GMCP and the MCFO at the same time.
Ah, that's huge.
It was huge. And seminary.
And seminary. Over
I
the
think
top.
Those who have been to seminary would understand how.
Absolutely.
But it was a... Now when I look back at this journey, all I want to say, like I said every morning, is thank you, Lord, mm-hmm. for putting me in that path and mm-hmm. journey, because it really helped me see the church and its mission differently, uh-huh. in a spiritual way.
So let's turn our focus now specifically to the role of women in French Polynesia. Mm-hmm. And if you can kind of give us a little window into what it was like when you were growing mm-hmm. up, or maybe even stories you've heard about that yeah. time.
Well, I grew up seeing my mom working, and she's still working hard for the church. I grew up seeing women with strong character, doing whatever responsibilities they had in the church. So I was only 14 when the revelation was approved, and I didn't really understand what it meant and why this call and why people were agitated, where they were questioning, mm-hmm. and didn't quite understand. But when the first ordinations of women took place here, the ladies who were ordained, I remember Tati Hel Richemont was ordained as a high priest, Odile Pirato as a 70. They were women that I knew when I was a child. They were our Sunday school teachers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They were during camps. They were our leaders. So for me, it was normal.
It felt really natural.
Yeah, I said, oh yeah, I know her. I know them. Oh yeah. And for me, it was like a natural
uh-huh. call. So what I'm hearing you say is, even though women weren't ordained yet, they were fully invested in the life mm-hmm. of the church, and they were serving in leadership roles that did not require priesthood mm-hmm. even, mm-hmm. but always yes. present and such a strength yes. in the church.
Yes.
So just for our listeners who may not be familiar with Doctrine and Covenants 156, this came to Community of Christ in 1984. And it had two very important things to say to the church. The first was it was time for the long-awaited temple in Independence to be built. And that was celebrated profoundly. People had waited for generations for that moment. The second thing it said is that the time had come to provide for the ordination of women. And on that topic, there were lots of really strong feelings from differing perspectives across the church about whether or not it was God's will for women to be ordained. And things were really difficult in some places not so much, but others very difficult. So you've talked about your sense of it felt really natural as these mm-hmm. women that you grew up with who were strong leaders to be, and you had women that were ordained to evangelists and high priests right away?
Yeah, the following years.
That is amazing. So what was the life for the church in French Polynesia in general when this big shift came?
I could hear, in my congregation, I didn't feel any resistance or anything like that. I think it depends on the congregation, but mm-hmm. it's especially during gatherings or events, church events, that you could easily hear some comments mm. or whenever a woman would be preaching. Yeah, you would hear... not many people, but you still hear people saying, they should have chosen this man or this man, but why her? And I think the women, I don't know if it's typical from French Polynesia, but those strong women with a strong character, they were wise enough to speak up and express their knowledge of first the revelation mm-hmm. and also they had things to say, like they grew up in the church and God has called them, and so they were sharing their testimonies, and it required them a lot of courage mm-hmm. to do that, 'cause some would prefer to just be quiet
uh-huh.
right? Accept the call, but then be quiet mm-hmm. and do whatever ministry you have to do. But yeah, I've seen some courageous women who were able to stand up and yeah. I think about my mom.
Uh-huh.
Even without her priesthood, she is a loud woman.
Uh-huh.
She would say frankly what she thinks. And her nickname in our congregation, people saw, oh, here's a crazy woman, because she says loudly. So when she became a priesthood a member, she had to work on that, like not say what she believes in. But then for me, I found that no, women have to say, we need to learn how to say it, but their voices are mm-hmm. Are necessary or helped
yeah.
Congregations in their life. And so for me, what I will remember is the courage that these women mm-hmm. had at the time.
So you've talked a little bit about how the face of ministry has changed over time. Are there any other ways that you've seen that expression of ministry change as the addition of the feminine, of the female, came to ministry?
We had our first mission center president, a woman, when Mareva became the mission center president, first time for a woman to that position, the church where I could remember those this minority mm. of members saying, what is this? And then for me, it was like oh, there are still people not knowing that there was this revelation. And I said to myself, oh, we need to give classes to them to let them know. Maybe these people have not followed up what right. has happened in mm-hmm. the church. Mm-hmm. And I have felt the need to, there was this lack of information for many members. And I felt the need to inform members of, because most of the comments that I heard is, who said so? Did God say that? And I said, okay, so maybe they have not heard about the revelation. Mm-hmm. And I remember during Mareva's ministry as a mission center president, where pastoral schools, temple schools we really developed mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Not just for women, but mm-hmm. it was a need that people, they would hear new information. They go straight to the information, but without taking along the yeah. way the things that have changed and the reasons mm-hmm. It changed. So education was a must for me when mm-hmm. I heard that, even for myself mm-hmm. and for the majority of the people. When I accepted my work here at the Mission Center, I had this experience with one male mm-hmm. minister mm-hmm. Who was, he had questions in his mind, and it happened one day, we were taking one same class and sharing, and he needed to talk. He asked us for a meeting. We had that meeting, but strangely enough, it was he wanted to talk to us and especially tell me what authority did I have to say the things that I wanted to say. And I kept telling him, oh, but I work for the Mission Center, and you have asked questions, I have answered, and I didn't understand why you disagreed with, and because it was my answer. And then at one point he said, where did you get the right to say the things you have said? And I said, as a church member, I can say what I want to say. But I said, but you have no right to do that. And I said, what do you really mean? But along our discussion, I found out that he was not comfortable with women mm-hmm. Taking over positions in the church, and especially giving lessons. Mm-hmm. And so it happened at the beginning of my time here at the Mission Center. I felt scared mm-hmm. because at the time I didn't have enough I wasn't well equipped yet. Uh-huh. But today I want to say thanks to this man and to the Spirit of God. He pushed me to go deeper into learning, because he kept saying scriptures. He said, mm-hmm. scriptures say this. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a lot of, no women, no this and no that. And I said, I don't think that's God's message. But thanks to that, I went into scriptures and took classes to understand better what scriptures say, and requested that I take seminary classes. Uh-huh. Actually, before I accepted the position of the Mission Center, that was one of the conditions. Mm-hmm. I remember saying to Steve Grappio, hey, I would say yes, but here's one condition. I want to go into seminary. Because for me, it meant a lot to be equipped before taking a job that would require a lot from you. Mm-hmm. And equipped to do church work.
Yes.
To know more about the church, and to especially be equipped so that I can give answers to people. Because I am a kind of person who would ask many questions, and when I don't get an answer, I can be not really. I won't be comfortable with that. And if I don't get answers, then I may be discouraged to do what I'm doing, because I like to understand why I do this and why I should do it this way. And so, yeah, that first encounter with this man had pushed me. So thanks to that man.
Yeah, I think you've said a lot of really important things, Lucy, as you've talked about your journey. One is how important it is to provide education conversation for people, especially in the midst of significant changes.
Yes.
Some people may not be aware, here in French Polynesia, in this mission center, Tahiti is the big island, but there are many, many small islands, so the mission center membership are spread out, but unlike most other mission centers, they're spread out across the ocean and makes it very difficult. So it's easy for people to have a gap in the journey and to for us to be aware of that as we're changing as a people, and how important that is. And also the importance of education for people who are stepping into new roles, whether it be women at a time of change in the church, or anyone at their next step of discipleship. I really appreciate how you have found a blessing in an encounter that that felt maybe even a little threatening, and in the midst of someone feeling angry and condemning your role, how you were able to bounce back from that and see that it motivated you to go deeper and really helped you take some steps towards developing a sense of confidence and a broader knowledge base, so that you were equipped when those encounters came again. So I think those are all really important things for us to understand about what it was like and the things that women did to help support themselves and others, but also how we learn from that as we walk into new challenges of change in the life of the church. Okay. So I want to just ask you how you see the current situation with the rights and equality of women in this part of church, of the church, the French Polynesian Mission Center. Do you see there is work still to be done? If so, how might we support that journey?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. here in French Polynesia, and because we are a church that ordains women, so we are people would watch us, like friends of the church or even members, and they, because it's something new. And it's so they want to know, I feel like people are always, they want to hear the updates. So what's now? So these women and some of our members are, they get the feedback from outside, and unfortunately there's a minority that are still questioning of, is that really a call from God? Or is that really something that God has expected from us? So I think we still need to share education also to express our ministry One thing that I keep asking, telling myself is, do your ministry well. Because people will watch you, will look at you, will hear you, just because we are women.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we do it properly and faithfully, then we are sharing the gospel. But also it helps others who are not familiar or don't know much about it to, and then we become their reference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep telling myself that every day, that because people will watch us, then let's just do it well. And
mm-hmm.
Because when we say things are not correct, they remember that. And then they point their fingers to us. And so that's a big challenge to always do that. But I have some friends from other church denominations,
uh-huh.
women,
mm-hmm.
of course women.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell me, how did you go to make that change? And I would say, oh, that's an old story now. And they were interested.
Yeah.
Just because we are friends and they, I didn't know, but they were watching me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And watching other women, other ministers, female ministers in the church. And I would hear good comments from them. And it somewhat opened their mind too.
Yeah,
and we see more and more women in politics in the society these days, and we hear more about women in the society requesting the government,
mm-hmm.
reminding them that they have rights too,
mm-hmm.
and so my church friends, they would say, oh, we should follow the same path. Another one from another church group has said, oh, we started, and our leaders are seriously thinking about it. And so I felt that happiness deep inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's almost like, there you go, it's something from God. Because
mm-hmm.
if it touched us, it touched them, then for me, it's God.
Yes.
It's... And so in the church here in French Polynesia, I think we need to continue teaching and go deeply into our enduring principles. Because
mm-hmm.
I use the enduring principles all the time when there are tough questions in front of me or when I see tough situations. And I think women are, they express it easier than male. It's not a judgment, but it's, I don't know.
It's a different dimension.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easier for us to say or to share or to give examples
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
Either examples from home or from the society, from church, from everywhere. But the enduring principles would be something that I will keep sharing and teach. It helps. It puts everyone on a common ground.
Yeah.
Male or female, there's no gender. It's for everybody.
I really appreciate the way you've described the role of women in the church as lights, examples in the mm-hmm. church, and the ministry dimension, the multifaceted nature of ministry when both genders are mm-hmm. represented, and a reminder that that women serve as lights outside the church as well, as people
yeah.
see, and
yeah.
and how that brings hope. So as I'm talking about hope, as you think about the church at large, in a larger scope, all-inclusive, what are your hopes for the church into the future?
My hopes for the turtle, oh, lots of hopes. These days, we are living a tough period of time mm-hmm. in the church, but also a great opportunity to try new things, or it shakens a little bit, but it has it led us to a way, and I'm talking about French Polynesia mm-hmm. Because at the beginning of when we heard the challenges that are coming away, people start questioning mm-hmm. again, and I am happy to see that we are taking a path that how can I say, there was no strict or direct decision to say, okay, no more of this, or like when we are in crisis.
Yes.
But instead of that, it's taking a path differently, mm-hmm. not so different, but returning to God mm-hmm. And put yourself in a spiritual practice and to listen deeply of what God wants us to do. So my hope for the church is for us to continue spreading the gospel, but also to talk about where we come from, and to know that these challenges are not new challenges.
Right.
These are challenges that many churches are facing, mm-hmm. but also companies. Mm-hmm. It's not like as if, oh, this is just community of Christ that's in crisis. No, it's everywhere. And so for me, it's to, even if we look back at church history, we have been through mm-hmm. challenges too. And what I appreciated in learning about our church history is that we never gave up.
Right.
We never gave up, and our ancestors never gave up, and it opened new opportunities, and the path that we have taken throughout the ministry of the prophets of the past, we are a church living its time. Mm-hmm. And so we take decisions, big decisions, significant, based on what our world needs mm-hmm. all the time. And so I'm not afraid of what we are living, mm-hmm. The challenges that we are. I'm just afraid that we won't take all the opportunities that are in front of us to inform our members, mm-hmm. Inform them that don't panic,
yeah.
but don't give up on your ministry, and God will always be there.
Exactly. What great insight and perspective mm-hmm. you bring to the church, as we, like many other churches and businesses and nonprofit organizations, continue to rebound from the great downturn in the global economy a few years ago mm-hmm. and respond to that faithfully and deepen our spiritual awareness and awakening as a church. Mm-hmm. We've been called to do that, as you said, and to keep the mission in mind. I love the way you said yeah. your hope is that we will share the message of the gospel and not lose sight of the many opportunities oh, in yeah. this changing world oh, yeah. to share those messages mm-hmm. and those enduring principles. Mm-hmm. So, Lucia, is there anything else that you want to say that maybe I have not asked you about?
I read a lot. Mm. I like readings. I just don't have enough time to read. I bought and I'm still buying books, and I have a lot of them on my shelves at home, and it helps me find this secure place just by myself, and it feeds my soul, and I like it. And when I'm discouraged, I dive into the books. And recently, I have read something that, put a smile to my face. Saying that we are chosen to do what we are doing today. And we are ordinary people. Whatever church positions we hold, we are ordinary people doing an extraordinary work for an extraordinary God. So I read that, it put a smile. I said, and we are just people who chose to say yes. And by saying yes to the ministry, it is a yes to the good times and yes to challenging times. It's like when a couple get married. It's for best and for worse. And so it puts a smile on my face recently. And we said yes. And let's go on. Let's continue this ministry.
That is a wonderful message to share as we wrap things up. It's been a joy to share with you, Lucia, and to get to know you a little bit better through our conversation today. Thank you for making time. And
thank you.
We'll do this again sometime. I also want to thank our listeners. If you would like to hear some more interviews about women and ministry and community of Christ, I encourage you to check out the following episodes: number 7, number 13, and a 2-part series with President Becky Savage, who served in the first presidency as the first woman. And those are number 165 and 166. And I want to remind you of what Lucia said to us just now. These words are profound. We are chosen to do what we are doing today. We are all ordinary people doing an extraordinary work for an extraordinary God. We are just people who said yes. Thank you for joining us today as we explore the role of women in Community of Christ and hear powerful stories about how women are claiming their place and living into the all of who God created us to be. This is your host, Robin Linkhart, and you are listening to Project Zion Podcast. Go out and make the world a better place. Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines. Mm-hmm.